Hey everybody, Daniel Gregory. Thanks for tuning into this episode of The Perceptive Photographer. This week I wanted to talk a little bit about color and black and white photography because I think we're at an interesting time in photography where a single camera can now capture and allow us to have the option of using black and white or color or both if we actually want to mix the two together. Prior to the digital age, we kind of had to make that decision before we went out with the camera because we had to load film into the camera. So we either had black and white film or we had color film. That limitation, I think, was really interesting in our way of seeing and our way of understanding and constructing photographs and our experience of the world, because you had to think about things a little bit differently if you were shooting in black and white or if you were shooting in color. It wasn't that one was better than the other or one was worse than the other, but they just had a different essence, a different sense of what was going to actually happen when a viewer looked at the photograph and when the photographer took the photograph. And this has gone on since the inception of photography. While we think a lot of times that color photography came way after black and white photography, that's not necessarily true. When you look back in the history of photography, we think about Napisi's photograph from 1926, 1927 as kind of being that first stable, permanent photograph that was created. But what's interesting is that color photography was actually started in around 1848. Edmund Becquerel created the first stable, and by stable, I mean it lasted 2-3 hours, color photograph. He was able to create and capture color just 20 years after the inception of photography. So while we go through and we think about all the things that happened with, so when we think about all the things that came after that with Fox Talbot creating a paper negative in 1835, and then John Herschel adding the fixer to stabilize that, the introduction of the Brownie camera in 1901, it allowed anybody to actually create and capture photographs at a moment's notice. Color photography was progressing along those lines as well. In 1861, James Maxwell created the first color stable image that would last longer than a few hours or a few days. In 1907, just 6 years after the introduction of that Brownie, we have Autochrome introduced, which is the first color film. The big change for color came in 1935. We have the introduction of Kodachrome. A few years after that, we have a Cibachromic print created. And Kodacolor was introduced, which is the first color negative film. As we go through all these different aspects, we really have kind of color and black and white photography kind of moving step by step. Now, the advances in the black and white space were much more significant and faster because it was a lot easier and it was a lot cheaper to work with those chemicals and those processes. But color photography has a very long and rich history going back almost to the beginning of photography. With that being said, it's interesting to note that in the fine art space and in the photographic space, color photography really wasn't accepted as a practical medium or a valued medium really until the late 1960s, 1970s. Ernest Haas had the first solo show in 1962 at the MoMA, but really William Eggleston's show in 1976 was really the first show that really solidified the value of color as a fine art photographic medium. Up until that point, we'd had 50 years of what was real fine art or real photography was black and white photography. And even though magazines such as Life, Look, Time, and Newsweek had started carrying images in color, in the acceptance of what was considered real art as photography, it had been black and white to that point. So as a photographer today who's got a lot more options available to them, and they're able to take in the merging of that technology has allowed for the photographer to really think about creation of black and white almost in the post-production more so than in the capture process, which I think is a backwards thinking in a lot of ways, because I think when you go out, you see and think about things differently if you're a black and white photographer than if you're a color photographer. If you're thinking about black and white, what really is dominant is tonality and the tones and the shades of gray that encompass an image. Because both color and black and white photography, they're concerned with light, they're concerned with shadow, because those two components are really what ultimately creates our understanding and awareness of the image. The light and the shadow really play off one another to create the depth and mood and essence of the photograph. On top of that, we either lay the tonality, which is the shades of the gray, or we overlay color information. And each one of those informs us differently. If we stick with the black and white, we think about tonality and the contrast that's created from a deep black to a really bright white and all those subtle gradients in between, the light silver that comes around in those mid-tones. Seeing in that tonal range is something that's important, because if I take two objects that have the same tone that can be completely separate, The classic example is a red apple and a green apple. To a black and white image, those apples will look identical because the tone within those is the same. They have the same luminous value, the same brightness value, and they have the same tonal value. So those are unable to separate. One of the things that the black and white photographer has to do is they have to see how those tones relate and how those tones ultimately come to tell a story. And while darker tones help recede, brighter tones come forward, we can use contrast to help move the eye, the story is ultimately tone in that understanding of those tonal relationships. A lot of times when we talk about black and white photography, we talk about photographing things with texture and things that have a lot of high contrasting shadows and things like that, because it helps accentuate what we see in the black and white, repetition of pattern, things like that. But really at the core, it's about seeing that tonal relationship. If you're shooting color and you're concerned about color, so you're concerned about hue, which is the actual color that's there, you're concerned about the luminous value, the brightness value, you're concerned about the tint, you know, how pure is that color, how much gray, white, and black has been mixed in within that, and you're concerned about the saturation, you know, is it muted, is it highly saturated, because in color, all of those elements come into play to change our understanding of a photograph and how we associate and see a photograph. If we think about just the color temperature and how warm or cold is the color within the image. What I mean by that is you think about a blue being a cooler color, where a red is a warm color, an orange is a warm color. A magenta is kind of a cooler color than a fire red. So as we think about how all those colors interact, one of the things that happens is warm colors come forward in an image and cool colors recede. So we can help move the viewer's eyes through the image by creating associations of how those colors overlap and relate to one another. You think about color saturation. The more saturated a color, the more it comes forward in a photograph. The more muted or desaturated, the farther back it'll recede in an image. So that combination comes into play as the viewer starts to read and understand the photograph. So as you're thinking about color, you really have to think about, well, how is saturation and tint and the hue of the image actually coming together to create my understanding of the story that's in there? So just like tone, ultimately the color helps become one of the central dictators of how that image is perceived and understood. How do the colors relate? Are they primary colors? Do they create an energy between them because you have two opposing colors on the color wheel? Do they create a sense of balance? Do they create a sense of energy? What do the colors actually do when you look at them? And therein lies what I think is the struggle in going out today and looking at how photographers are using black and white versus color photography, is they're going out and capturing. And when they come back, they look at it in post-production and they have an image that's probably not that strong of image because they haven't considered what color did. They didn't see color behind the viewfinder, so they decide to look at it in black and white. And what happens is they say, oh, well, it looks better in black and white. And what they actually mean is, oh, the distractions of the color that didn't work in the color image are gone now, so it's a better photograph. And I contend that if you're going out and shooting in black and white, you would be thinking about composition differently. You'd be thinking about light and shadow differently because you would not be focusing in on color. It shouldn't be the afterthought that determines whether the image is in black and white or color. It should be in the experience and the story you're attempting to tell ahead of time, because then you're going to start to see behind the camera the associations of color and how those colors are driving and impacting the story you're telling. If you're in black and white, you're going to think about the tonal relationship. You're going to think about that structure of that image differently. So it shouldn't be about trying to fix something. It shouldn't be about trying to make something just better off what was a photograph that really wasn't well thought of or well composed at from the beginning. For this week, what I'd encourage you to do is to decide before you go out and shoot that you're going to shoot in black and white and you're going to shoot in color. And give yourself a day of black and white, give yourself a day of color. And when you're shooting, think about how tonal relationships work. And if you're not sure how that works, you're going to need to shoot a lot of images and look at a lot of black and white photography to start to understand how those tonal relationships relate. Same thing with color. If you're not really working with color well, find great color photographers. Find an Eggleston, a Joel Merowitz, a Jay Mazel, somebody like that who really thinks a lot about and sees in color, and use that as a foundational source. But go out and start to think about your compositions in terms of what you're seeing as an image in black and white, as an image in color. If you're not comfortable seeing in black and white, one of the things you can do is turn your camera into a monochrome setting. So when you look at the back of the camera, you're actually seeing a black and white version of what you just photographed. That can help you start to see some of those tonal relationships and how those colors relate But I do think you're going to see a significant shift in your photography when you're going out and thinking about seeing in black and white versus seeing in color and the power that those two different ways of telling a story can happen. A black and white story is much more abstract. We've lost the color information, so we see the world a little bit differently, where the color information can provide a completely different experience within the story. So if you're starting to think about the stories you want to tell and how you want your photographs to have meaning, it could be very important to make that decision ahead of time rather than just trying to fix it on the backside. Go out and really try to get intentional with thinking about black and white ahead of time or color, or if you really want to get experimental, you know, go find yourself a film camera and load in a roll of color film and load in a roll of black and white film and have that developed, and you'll really get to see that those limitations are actually really important because they are allowing you to start to see with meaning, with intention, and develop your eye for how all of those stories can come together in your photographs through the medium you've chosen rather than just trying to pick something that may not necessarily be accurate. So have a great week behind the camera, and I'll see you next week here on The Perceptive Photographer. Don't forget, you can always find us on iTunes, or you can always find us up on the website at www.theperceptivephotographer.com. Have a great week.